good morning. How are we doing? My goodness. I love it. Y'all look great this morning, and we're ready for Thanksgiving. Yeah. You know, the big thing about Thanksgiving is the food, I think. Food is good. The food is good. I feel like we need to take about 5 minutes and help Pastor Jeremy out back there and talk about the food for Thanksgiving. My goodness. Help me out with something. I put this on Facebook earlier this week and almost started World War III with it, I think. So, stuffing or cornbread dressing? Oh, the stuffing. Okay, let me hear. Show of hands, stuffing for Thanksgiving. See, I know that you guys have got some history up north, probably, more than like cornbread dressing. Yeah, a lot of people. That's a southern thing. We usually have the best of both worlds for Thanksgiving at our house because we got a mixture. I grew up on cornbread dressing, though. Oh, my gosh. My wife, Kelly, loves stuffing. I tolerate that. She's still growing and getting closer to Jesus. Sooner or later, it's going to click and she'll cross over, I think. Nah. Let me ask you this. Pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie? Oh, my God. Let me see sweet potato pie. Pumpkin pie? I heard neithers. Neithers? That was not an option. That was like, look, send me your pie. If you don't like it, I'll tell you. But I get it. Apple pie? Oh, my goodness. Apple pie is good. Turkey, ham. Somebody said cheesecake? I heard cheesecake. You guys watching online, throw something in the comments and let us know what you guys like for Thanksgiving. By the way, thank y'all for joining us online today. Can we give a big welcome to the online audience joining us? I know we got a lot of people traveling this week and a lot of people tuning in, so thank you guys for staying with us. Got some big news to talk about here in just a little bit. Is this weather getting cold enough for you, though? Man, all the summer lovers are posting hateful things. And y'all fall people, you like the cold weather. Yes. Oh my goodness, I hope you're as miserable as we are. I love this weather. I would rather be cold than hot. And here's why. Because you can always put on more clothes to warm up. You know what I mean? You can always put on your favorite hoodie or drink a cup of hot coffee or hot chocolate or apple cider, you know. There's only so much you can take off in the summer to cool off. You know what I mean? You know, look, some of y'all need to hear that. There's only so much you can take off in the summertime to cool off. My good. Any of y'all keep your fan going in the winter? Yeah. Yeah, I do that too. I like that breeze blowing on me. I love the breeze blowing on me. We're going to have a fun day today. Y'all picked a great day to be here. A lot of good stuff to talk about today. Let me get situated here. And get ready to go through some fun stuff. You guys, Georgia fans, y'all escaped another season, it's looking like. Saw Georgia Tech upset North Carolina. That's crazy. Anytime Georgia Tech wins is crazy here lately, I tell you. Tennessee fans, we're praying for you. That was an ugly day yesterday for Tennessee. I love that. A lot of fun stuff going on in our church. A lot of great opportunities. I love that God lets us do stuff for His kingdom. Amen. You know, hey, you stop and think about how jacked up you used to be. Now, let's say, stop and think about how jacked up the people around you used to be. We'll do it that way. You know, I know me. Like, I used to be so jacked up. God's brought me out of so much. Just the thought of Him being able to use me for anything is amazing. For God to collectively use us as a church, when you think about it, is amazing and it is awesome. And I'm so grateful for the opportunities that He's giving, not just Eastgate Church, but His church, big picture, to impact this world for Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Amen? That's what it is all about. How many of you know, a few weeks ago, we talked about partnering with a missions team in Guatemala to help them help make a vacation Bible school possible. The first ministry they've been able to do in that area since COVID-19 shut down their country. And so they have just been waiting for the opportunity And honestly, they've been sneaking ministry through and doing some bootleg ministry, hiding from the government so that they would not get locked up. They would have been locked up doing what they were doing. But now they've got a green light to minister to these kids who are literally living in the dump in Guatemala. And I'm happy to report that this week the attendance for the Vacation Bible School increased, and they are seeing children give their hearts to Jesus, and it is absolutely amazing. We should give God some praise for that. It's awesome. Now, and we as a church, we have a partnership in that, and so we get to share in the harvest that they're seeing. But you guys that gave sacrificially to help make that happen, especially you, seeing your dollars be transformed into someone's life being changed for eternity. Now, that's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. A lot of stuff going on. Like I said, we were partnering with the Nichols Center, local outreach here in the city that focuses on helping families recover from addiction, walking them through that process. They do a lot of great work for the community. So their Friendsgiving is this week, and we were partnering with them to help get food and supplies to help them not just reach out to the people that they're connected with, but people that are in need of some food, that are connected with accountability courts, and that is happening. We were able to go pick up supplies and hook them up with some stuff, so we can't wait for a great report on that outreach this week. We were able to see a ministry team go and serve at the pantry this past week. The pantry is a local food outreach, and every year we partner up with them, and we send some teams over there to help prepare food baskets to be given away to families in need in the area. Eastgate Church, I'm happy to announce, and this is their number, we were able to help provide Thanksgiving meals for over 300 families in our area. That is awesome. That is awesome. God's using us in a powerful way to impact our community. I love this. I love this. I just wanted to celebrate some stuff with you guys. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of the holiday season, especially around Thanksgiving, because so many of us are traveling that it's good sometimes to just tap the brakes and remember what this thing is all about and to be thankful for the spiritual things that are happening in and through this church. Amen. A lot of great stuff going on. We had an opportunity made available to us over the weekend. This is just amazing to me. Our friend Corey Condry, Coco brother, I love that dude. I love that dude. We got this joke now. I call him, he's the salt to my, or he's the pepper to my salt. I'm the salt to his pepper. It's so funny. So he calls me a brother from another mother and all this stuff. He's just great. But he called and said, hey, we've got an outreach going on again this year where we want to help hook up people in this area with free gas and free turkeys for Thanksgiving. And he said, we just can't do it without having Eastgate Church be a part of it. Can you guys roll with us on this outreach and help make it happen? And I was like, yeah, we can do that. We can help make it happen. So this Tuesday, if you're not traveling, if you're available, this Tuesday, we're going to partner up with 104.5, my city, and we're going to give away free gas and free turkeys to our community. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be at the, now I'm about to give you country boy directions, okay? So you guys know, you go down to where the Johnson Farm used to be, and then you turn left, and then you find, so Circle K on Highway 5 next to Chick-fil-A. Most people know where that is. It's where we worked with them last year for this very same outreach, same location. So 6 p.m. on Tuesday is when it's going down. So I know some of us will be coming in from work, those of us that aren't off for the week. So as close to 6 o'clock as you can get there, between 5:30 and 6. It's a real simple setup, and we'll just be giving out gas and loving on people and giving them turkeys, and it'll be great. Last year it was insane, guys. Traffic was literally backed up for miles. For miles, people were backed up to wait their turn to get gas and hoping they could get in before the time limit was done, you know, because we'll only be doing this for about an hour, hour and a half, something like that. So we're going to remove as many people through as we can, and you just watch. It's like it borders on chaos with how many cars are shooting through there, and we're running them to the pumps and all that stuff. But it's just a great way to get out there and practically love on the community. You know what I mean? Jesus met people's practical needs. And then he met their spiritual needs. And honestly, I think the two really don't have to be separate. So we want to create a platform for us to be able to give the gospel to people in our area. So if you guys can be there. It's going to be great. So we're going to park in the parking lot next to the Circle K. So if you pull up, you see Circle K here. There's a parking lot over here where Chick-fil-A is. Park in the Chick-fil-A parking areas over there. Walk across the road safely and get ready to, yeah, this would be great. It was awesome last year. We got cussed at.
Yep.
We got honked at because we caused a traffic jam. And people are like, beep, beep, what are y'all blah, 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 doing? Like, we're giving away free gas and turkeys, bro. And he's like, oh, okay. That's what the traffic jam is all about. Yeah, so hate on that, sucker. Yeah. So it's crazy. A lot of fun stuff going on. Another big thing that we have to announce today, and this is the bigger of the announcements. I was telling them in pre-service, we could spend all morning doing this because God is doing so much in our church. But we wanted to celebrate something and put a tool in your hand, something that we've been working on for over a year. When I say we mean Pastor Jeremy, but I'm going to steal some of the credit. Now, Pastor Jeremy's been working hard behind the scenes on putting together an app for our church. Yeah. It's great. It's a big deal for us because this is another way for us to just put the church in your hands and stay connected all the way. So what we're going to do is get this thing going this morning. Now, I'm going to talk you through it, and then we're going to play a video and help you out just in case you haven't downloaded an app in the last 20 years for your phones. We got you covered today on that. But take out your phones. Go. It doesn't matter if you got Android or Apple. We know that all the more intelligent people have Apple products, but some of y'all are giving me hateful looks. What is that all about? So search for Eastgate Church Douglasville, and it'll come up pretty quickly. Now, while you're searching for it, let me tell you this. When you download this thing, it's going to give you an option to receive notifications or not. We want you to receive notifications. All right, that's how you're going to be in the loop on a lot of stuff that's happening. Now, I promise you, we're not going to blow up your phone and send you messages every day. All right, but when something big's going on in the church, it's an easy way for us to just let you know. Because I don't know how things work in your world. Sometimes I get busy and I forget stuff. And these little reminders help a lot. Now, when you download it, you're going to see a lot of cool toys that you will have available to you. The messages, quick links to give, quick links to check in your children when you arrive at church. You can do it all off of the app. Events, things going on, meetings, all of that stuff. It'll be a great place for us to just, boom, the church in your hand. So nobody can say, Pastor Josh, I had no idea that was going on. It's amazing how you can announce something 30 times and play videos and put it on social media, and then you still got that one person who's like, I don't know what you're talking about. What is going on here? Well, now we've got another tool to help you out. And just in case you're lost on how to download the app, we've got a video ready for you to walk you through it and to remind you of a little something as well. So let's go ahead and play that. Y'all get a kick out of this. Yeah, did you get the message? Hey, can we do this? Two things. One, big celebration that we've got an app, and then big celebration that Pastor Jeremy was finally able to get it done. Amen? Let's give God some praise for that. Big stuff. So we hope that blesses you. Again, if you're still having trouble with downloading it, look for somebody that looks like they're under 40, and they can probably help you out. with how to do that. Not jabbing on you. I know sometimes we have some difficulty with that stuff. Man, sometimes my daughter will say stuff to me and I'm like, what did you just say? It's crazy how times change with the generations and technology's changed with the generations and all that stuff. So, but anyway, yeah, download that. Going to be some more news hitting the app later this week. So you make sure that you've got it all downloaded and ready to be in the loop on what's going on in the church. Is this cool or what?
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So praise God we're able to get this done. So we are continuing this series that we're in right now called Follow Jesus, focusing on discipleship. Now, what is our number one responsibility as a Christian? Spreading the word. All these are great answers. And really, I guess if you're landing on that, there's really no wrong answer. But outside of our relationship with Christ, we are called to make disciples. So number one responsibility as believers. It doesn't get talked about a lot. I tell you what does get talked about a lot is showing up to church, participating in what's going on, getting involved, all these normal things. I am sick and tired of seeing the church lower the bar on what Jesus has called us to do as believers. We're called to do way more than just drag our sorry hind ends to church on a Sunday. He has called us to impact this world for His kingdom. He has called us to teach and to train and help raise up the next generation of believers, to watch each other's backs, to lift each other up in prayer, to help make disciples. Just helping people grow in their relationship with God. Now, when I said that, some of you probably freaked out, and you don't have to freak out because it's a lot easier than you think that it is. Can you pray for somebody?
Yeah.
Can you pray with somebody?
Yeah.
Can you maybe help somebody through a tough season in their life by using your own experience and what you learned through it?
Yeah.
That's discipleship. That's discipleship. You don't have to ride on a golden horse from heaven to be able to do that. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to have a master's in divinity. You just have to have a heart to let God use you to help other people grow. That's what discipleship is all about. Now, over the years of ministry, what we're going to talk about today has been the one area that I think especially new believers struggle with the most. I know I did personally. We're going to talk about how do I read the Bible? How do you read the Bible? I don't know how it worked when you got saved. When I got saved, somebody, they threw a Bible at me and said, here, read this. It'll change your life. Oh, boy. And I opened it up and I started to read it, and it made no sense at all to me. No sense at all. And I went through a whole season of trial and error trying to figure this stuff out. Listen, I want to save you the headache and trouble that I went through early on in my walk with God. I want to give you some tools today that's going to help you be able to, one, have a great plan for reading the Bible, and then two, listen, I want to equip you to be able to get into this thing and let God start to speak to you. Let the Word of God get inside of you and change you, because it's possible. It's possible. Now, you may be here, you may be watching online, and that seems like a million miles away from you, but it's not. It's not. There are some easy practical steps and easy practical things that you can do to get the ball rolling, and today we want to help equip you for that and help you grow in your walk with God. So go in your Bibles to Matthew 28, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. It's kind of our foundational verse for this the series that we're in. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Everyone say all.
All
nations. Jesus died for all people.
Amen.
All people. Not just the ones we agree with. Not just the ones that pull for the same football team. Not just for the ones that we agree with politically. Okay? Not just for people that are the same color that we are. He died for all people. We are called to reach all people because that's what Jesus did. Now, if you have trouble reaching out to people that think differently than you, whose political opinions are different than you, listen to me now, whose sexual preferences are different than yours, you've got an issue that you need to work out. Jesus would have reached out to the homosexual.
Right.
Jesus would have reached out to a Democrat. Jesus would have reached out to a Republican. All right. Jesus would have reached out to a daggum Alabama fan. I guarantee you, Jesus would have reached out to all people to give them hope and salvation. We're called to do the same thing. Not just that, but baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them, say teaching, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Question. If we're called to reach all people and teach them what we've been commanded, how are we going to be able to teach them if we don't understand what Jesus has commanded us to do? How can we understand any of that if we don't know how to understand the Bible? You know what I'm saying? Like, how can we actively pour into somebody else's life if the Word of God isn't feeding us and pouring into us? You got to be full of something to be able to give something out. Some of us are full of the wrong stuff. Why are y'all looking at the person next to you? What's going on? So, stop. You're somebody at home probably poked somebody on the couch, right? You understand? You want to be full of the right stuff. And we want to make sure that we're full of the Word of God. So we can't teach them what we don't know. And we sure have to understand the Word of God to know what Scripture says that we're commanded to do. And by the way, this is a commandment from Jesus to us as believers to go and make disciples, to teach them, to train them, to help them along the way, to help them grow in their walk with God. That's what we're called to do as believers. Now, for a lot of people, the Word of God early on, and maybe even now, it's intimidating. A lot of times, like first time I opened up my Bible and I was going to read it, I halfway expected angels to show up in the room and start pointing things out on the pages to me, and it didn't work out that way. You know, I messed up because I started out trying to learn how to read out of the King James Version of the Bible. Now, King James Version of the Bible is great. If you like it, it's very poetic. But listen, that's English that was spoken a few hundred years ago. People don't talk like that anymore. Boy, I was struggling over the these and thous and thithers, withers, hithers, and all of that stuff and all of that. I had no idea that there were other translations that were easier for a guy like me to understand that said the same thing in a modern language. Which, by the way, if you're watching this and you're just in the camp of King James only, let me encourage you to get out of that mindset. When King James ripped off that version of the Bible is basically what he did. He had it written in a language that was common to the day. If you really want to argue about which version is the authorized version of the Bible, you better learn how to speak or read Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you're not reading that and breaking it down, you've got a translation of the original script. And so I would encourage, if you're having a hard time getting into King James Version, or New King James Version is a great version, NIV, NLT, ESV, those are great. That's a lot of letters. But find one that you can understand. And if you can read the King James Version and understand it, more power to you. That's the name of the game, to be able to understand it so we can apply it. Amen? The Word of God is a tool that helps us in life and prepares us for eternity. It's a tool. It's something that God gave us to help us navigate this world that we live in. I got a lot of tools at home. I have a bag full of cordless power drills and saws, sawzalls, and all these great things. I've got hammers and screwdrivers and ratchets and wrenches and all of this stuff. Each one has a specific use. Each one is tailored to a specific task. Okay? The Bible is tailored to the specific tasks or issues or problems or areas of growth that need to take place in your life. All in one. All in one. It's a great tool. Every redneck knows what I got in my hands right here. Boy, this is it right here. Duct tape. Man, what is the saying? If you can't fix it, you duck it. Yeah, put the put the duct tape on it for sure, man. You can solve a lot of problems with duct tape. You can fix a lot of stuff with duct tape. Kelly and I were flying to New Mexico for a conference that we were going to out there. And no joke, we were sitting on the plane waiting for them to fix an issue. Couldn't taxi out, couldn't take off until they fixed this issue on the plane. One of the compartments kept falling open. And it was a maintenance compartment up towards the cockpit. And so it was hilarious. So the maintenance guy came on and he pushed it up and it fell down. He pushed it up and it fell down. He walked off the plane. A buddy came on with him. Now there's two of them and they stare at the compartment. And the other one goes and it falls down. I'm like, okay, now we got two. Oh, it gets better. So a third maintenance guy comes on with them, and they're all standing around this thing because the plane cannot take off until they get this fixed, and whoever the big supervisor, safety engineer guy is, comes in and goes, okay, that is officially doing what it's supposed to do. I'll sign off on the paperwork. You guys can take off. Third guy comes in, and they took turns pushing it up like something magical was going to happen. You know, just pushing, and it fell down. So the big engineer safety guy comes in, three maintenance guys there, and he looks, they're all looking at this thing, and I literally say from the back, why don't they just duct tape this stupid thing and be done with it, you know? And they have a quick conversation. One of the maintenance guys leaves. A couple of minutes later, he comes back with a roll of duct tape. Sure enough, we had all these conversations, pushing this thing up, trying to find the best solution for it, and they're duct taping this joker up there. And then they wait and they watch, and the big honcho guy goes, and it stays there. So he's like, all right. They sign off on it and go. So our lives were saved by duct tape on the plane, apparently. Crazy. No specialized tools, just duct tape. Some stuff is great with duct tape. Some stuff duct tape does not fix. Some things you need specific tools for. Duct tape doesn't work on some engine repairs. Keep your hood in place, I guess, but engine repairs, it can't do. If you don't have access to the tools that are in the Word of God to help you in life, a lot of times, your whole world can just look duct tape together. Just quick fixes to cover stuff up so that you can just keep moving on. You know what I mean? And the problems aren't solved. The issues aren't resolved. It's just duct tape. Let me ask you a question. Looking at your life right now, do you see a whole lot of this? Or do you see things actually fixed and resolved according to the Word of God? See what I'm saying? If we properly apply it, it changes things. When you look at your relationships, do you see a whole lot of this? When you look at your heart, do you see a whole lot of this? Well, you don't have to. Okay? The Word of God is full of tools to speak to the areas and the issues of life to help us through it. And so what I want to do today is start you on a pathway of understanding the Word of God so that you can have access to this toolkit that God has given us. Everything you're going to face in life, listen, everything you're going to face in life, the Word of God equips you to be able to deal with it. Every issue, it has a solution for. Every question, it has an answer for. It's right here. It's the most powerful asset you have in your life next to the Holy Spirit and His work in your heart. God's Word. If you want to know what God's thinking about something, His Word's right here. And He'll tell you through His Word. So the Word of God is incredibly powerful. So enough dancing around this. Let's just get into it. I've got somebody who's going to help me out today, like we did last week. I've got somebody who's going to come up here and help me walk through a little talk sheet that we have. Ushers, if you will, while she's coming up here, why don't you go ahead and begin to pass out the talk sheet. And while they're doing that, why don't y'all help me show some love to Miss Lisa, who's going to come up here today. and walk through some stuff with us. Look at you. There you go, lady. I'm not sure if it's on or not. Just switch on the side. Got it? Okay, good. Duct tape, right there. All right. Are you excited?
Yes.
Are you scared?
Yes.
I would be too. Hey, you're good. I always tell people it's all right to be nervous. It's always good to be nervous a little bit. I've been doing this forever. I get a little bit nervous. I think it keeps me honest. Everybody get one of these little sheets. There should be a pen in the seat back in front of you. If you need a pen to fill in these blanks and you don't have one, the ushers will help you out with that. We got a stash of pens back there in the media booth. Everybody have a sheet this morning? All right. And if you don't have one, you're watching online, you can just follow along with us as best you can. It'll be a great little conversation. How do I read the Bible? 2 Timothy 3:16, if you look there in your notes, says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Like I said earlier, I love that God gave us the Bible because it equips us for everything in life. Everything in life. You ever have trouble reading the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially, like you said before, with the King James Version.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. Very difficult. And when I found out there was other translation to actually understand what's going on, it really helped me to understand and how to apply that to my life.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Let's go ahead and walk through this. So what I want to give you today is a simple process for studying the Word of God. It's called the SOAP method. You ever heard of that before?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys ever heard of the SOAP method? Yes. Studying the Bible. It's very popular. I like it because it is super practical and it's very easy to follow through. Listen, if you want to know what I do when I prepare for a message every week, I get in the closet and I pray. My closet of prayer, and I pray. And I get into the Word of God and I apply this. I apply this that we're about to walk through. And it gives me a great process to be able to pull out some amazing truth in the Word of God. Like for me personally, God will just speak to me through this stuff. So let me give you the words that go in this blank that you got there on your sheets, and we'll just walk through this. So SOAP obviously is a little, is that an acronym? Is that the right word? Acronym?
Yes.
Yeah. Acronym Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. So S on your notes is going to be Scripture. Going to be Scripture. So what you're going to do is just open your Bible to your reading for the day and read the passage. Now, that's pretty basic. Listen, you've got to read the Word of God if you're going to get the Word of God inside of you. Amen? So just start with that. Don't let the Bible intimidate you. Dive in there. So you open to your reading for the day. You read the passage. And if there's a specific verse that sticks out to you, you write it down, circle key words, and underline phrases that begin to speak to you. So let's back up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll put that back up on the screen for you. And what I want to do is just kind of apply this initially as we walk through this. And let's see if we can pick out some key words that stand out to us in this passage of Scripture. And you can do the same thing if you want to. I've got a couple picked out, and pick out some things that stand out to you as we read this. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Some stuff that sticks out to you when you're reading that?
Yes. Definitely the part where it says training in righteousness.
Yeah.
Basically teaching myself, well, God's teaching me how to walk in his faith, walk by faith and not by sight.
Uh-huh.
Being able to have more confidence in myself.
Yeah.
So Definitely. And it's helping me, teaching me to be more than a conqueror.
I like that. Yeah, no, that's good. It's funny because that's what I marked too, and we highlighted this on the screen. So training in righteousness, it's huge for me. The Word of God helps to equip us, helps to train us, like an athlete training for an event, going through all the reps, all the workouts, all the training to be ready for what, you know, that game or that relay or that race or that soccer match, whatever it is. They do a lot of training to prepare for that. Well, the Word of God does the same thing. It helps us spiritually to train ourselves so that we can live out the righteousness that Jesus died for us to have. You know what that word righteousness means? It means right standing with God. I love that. And it's just cool to think that we've all got that right standing with Him if Jesus is Lord and Savior of our lives. But the Word of God helps us train so that we can perfect that. You know, where Paul writes later on in the New Testament, he talks about how we're supposed to perfect that righteousness, to walk it out, to continually grow in it. The Word of God is key for that. So I love that. Word of God is very important. So when you're reading the Bible, you're going to pick a passage of Scripture and just don't just read it to read it. Slowly go through it and look at these words and see what stands out to you. Now, many times you're going to think that it's just a word you don't understand, which it may be. But when those words stand out to you, a lot of times it's the Holy Spirit illuminating those words to catch your attention so that you can meditate on it, spend a little bit of time working through it to figure out how the Word of God can then train you as you apply it to your life. Okay? It's funny how the Word of God will speak to you in different ways in different seasons. You know, if you're going through something specific in your life, you could read a passage of Scripture you've read 100 times, and it's going to say something different, specific to the season that you're walking through. And that's how the Word of God helps train us and prepare us for the stuff that we're walking through in life. So the second blank there on your notes is observation. So you've got the Scripture. You're looking at keywords. So now you're going to spend a little bit of time observing what you're reading. So after you write down your verse that's sticking out to you, ask yourself the following questions. What is God saying to me in the Scripture? What things stuck out to me? Are there any repeated words? You know, you write down your answers to these questions. Anytime I read the Bible, I always have a notepad next to me. Always. Or I've got my iPad so that I can take notes while I'm reading. Because these things will stick out to you. And you'll want to just write down these key phrases. What is God speaking to you? Write that stuff down. Because how many of you have ever been distracted while you tried to read your Bible? Yeah. You got kids in the house too? You understand? You got a phone that rings. Yeah, life just happens, you know. So you want tools to help keep you on track with this, because I don't know if you've ever been in the middle of reading your Bible and then you think, oh man, did I leave the oven on downstairs? And then you had to go downstairs and check, and then you come back up. Now you forgot the whole train of thought that you had. And writing this stuff down will help keep you on track. So what things stuck out? Are there repeated words? Repeated words in Scripture are big, hey, look at me signals. You want to pause and look at that stuff. Now, let me ask you something. Has any of this been so hyper-spiritual that you could not understand it so far? Real practical, right? That's what we want today. I just want to give you some practical stuff in studying your Bible to help get you to the next level. So after you do the observation thing, application. You know, it's not enough just to read the Word. You got to put it to work in your life. You got to apply this stuff. So personalize what you've read by asking yourself, how does this apply to me right now? And what is my action step? It could be instructions, encouragement, a new promise that God's given you in the Word. Correction, because sometimes the Word of God will get up in your kitchen and just clean house. And it'll just speak to you in different areas of your life. So you want to write down how that scripture applies to your life today. 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 So when you read that scripture that says, bear with one another in love. Boy, that's a great one rolling into Thanksgiving, isn't it? So how can we apply that? All right, I am not going to throat punch my uncle at Thanksgiving this year. That's how I'm going to show love. And so you figure out how you can practically work this stuff into your life. So what's the action step? How am I going to apply this? Instead of throat punching people, I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to serve people. I'm going to speak life over people. Instead of getting caught up in the drama that sometimes happens when a lot of family gets together, I'm going to separate myself from that, and I'm going to be a missionary to my family and show the love of God to them this year. How do you apply it to your life? After you figure out how to apply it, then you pray. Praying's always good. Praying's always good. I love praying scripture. What you want to do is there in your notes, it says write out a prayer based off of what you learned from scripture. Now, you don't have to write it out. Some people, that's awkward, but I found in the beginning, it was a lot easier for me to write out what I was prayerfully meditating on in my spirit. It helped me focus. It gave me something to come back to later also. So write out the prayer based on what you learned from the scripture. And it can be as simple as just asking God to help you use it in your life. So you would just say, okay, God, this week when I go to be with my family, Lord, help me not to throat punch people. Help me to show your love. Lord, you know me. You know, in my flesh, I've got a quick temper. Help me to operate in your love, your patience, or to bear with these people and give them a glimpse of you through how I respond. You know, something like that, you pray it and figure out how to get it in your spirit. That's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. So scripture, observation, application, and prayer. That's SOAP. That's pretty easy, right? Yeah. Wasn't confusing at all, was it? Now, here's what I know. If you will just take this simple little process and put it to work in your Bible reading time, God will take this simple process and explode his word in your spirit. I'm telling you, things will just jump off the page of your Bible like never before, even if it's a little awkward in the beginning, because what you're doing is you're opening up the door to give him access to speak to you through his word, and you're getting that word in your spirit. You know, the Bible says that the word of God is living and active. It's alive. Do you ever think about it that way?
I have.
Alive. It's alive. So when you read it, it's different than just reading a book. It's different than just studying for a test, trying to get information in you, you know? So when you let that word get in your spirit, and you're reading it, and you're looking at the key words in there, and you're writing down what you can pull from this and apply to your life, and then you're praying that scripture over your life, it just opens up a whole new level of revelation. Y'all know that word? That's a churchy word. Revelation. That's where God will just, boom, speak to you and show you something suddenly in a passage of scripture that you've never seen that way before. You ever had that happen to you?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
As cool as I'll get out, isn't it?
Yes.
So Kelly, my wife, she'll get aggravated at me sometimes because I'll read scripture or something, especially when I'm preparing for a message, and I'll come running in. I'll be like, hey, did you know this? Or, hey, look what God just showed me. And then she's like, okay, that's awesome, honey. I'm glad. But when it just drops in you, man, it's life-changing. So let's all go through this together one more time using a different passage of scripture. Now, this is participation time, all right? So you guys do this for yourself. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe you've done this 1,000 times. 1,001 times isn't going to hurt you, all right? So let's look at our scripture. Scripture. We're going to look at Romans 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that passage of scripture. It's great. So let's take a second, now that we've read it, And let's write down some observations about that passage of Scripture. Everybody in here, we're going to take a couple of seconds. And you guys watching online, let's take a little bit of time. And just, when you look at that, what do you see that stands out to you? Any words that you feel like are important? Anything that jumps off the page at you? And what you're going to want to do is just write those observations down on your notes that we gave you. Some of y'all are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You need a pen so you can write this stuff down. So what are we observing in this scripture? All right, let's put the scripture back up on the screen, Romans 12:2. So what did you get? What stood out to you?
So the part that stood out to me was the renewing of your mind.
Ooh.
I liked that part because I kind of wrote down, God, renew my mind so I can be more like you.
Mm-hmm.
Before I even opened my Bible, I always pray and ask God to please open my mind, give me the understanding and the wisdom so I can be able to be more like you. So that part right there definitely stands out with me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Renewing of the mind. That's, you know, that passage of scripture that says, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. You know, or a person thinks within themselves, so they are. The renewing of the mind is incredibly important. It really is. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. I love that. It's like, oh, I was acting a certain way before Jesus, but now there's a transition that's happening or has happened there. And so to me, it's just saying, hey, don't act like you used to act. Okay, renew your mind, the Word of God, so that transformation can take place long-term in your life. Because how many of you know that once you got saved, stuff awesome was happening in here in your spirit, but you still had to, like, train yourself not to do some of the jacked up stuff that you used to go to, you know what I mean? Mostly for, like, stress relief or, like, escape to get, you know, when life got really bad. Learning how to turn to Jesus and operate in His peace instead of whatever worked before for me, you know, before I had Jesus. That's huge for me. So that's a good observation in Scripture for sure, renewing of the mind. So application. Now that we've observed some stuff, how are we going to apply this to our lives? So let's take a minute and let's write this down. Everybody's going to do it with us. How are we going to apply this Scripture to our lives right now? I love this part because it's fun. It's like I'm putting together an action plan to make this stuff real in my life, you know? I love it. I'm breaking the cardinal rule of public speaking. I'm allowing for awkward silence while we all focus on this. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to keep talking through the whole thing. Don't you know? Oh, you don't know how to preach, Pastor. I'm not preaching so much as equipping today, guys. I want to make sure that we got this. I want to show you how simple this process is. So what did you come up with?
For me, it kind of take me back from when I first started my walk with God.
Uh-huh.
I know starting off going to work, you know, trying to like, you know, okay, I'm focused, I'm going to have a good day. And then like soon as like somebody might just walk up and just mess up the whole mode of my day. To take that and kind of change it and put it into a positive aspect and just saying, you know what, I'm going to kill it with kindness.
I like that. That's good. I like that. I like that. Y'all ever had a day where things were going good and then somebody just knew exactly what to say or do to try to train wreck it? Yeah. So stopping in that moment and allowing a choice to take place, instead of reacting to what's happening, you can choose the correct response. Responding is different than reacting. So putting the word of God to work in that situation and saying, no, I'm going to choose to respond biblically to what's happening. Girl, that's good. That's good. That's grown-up stuff right there. That is grown-up stuff right there. I'll be honest with you, I could have used that on Tuesday. For real. For real, man. People don't know how to drive around Atlanta. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Could use that in traffic. So figuring out a way to apply the word of God, not just reading it, but putting it to work. Putting it to work. That's where the change happens. That's where the training takes place. And then what you're going to want to do, once you've got that action plan and what you want to see happen, what you believe the Lord is speaking to you, then you just take some time and you pray over it. And pray, just pray. Let God speak to you. And you remember that prayer is a two-way conversation. So make sure that you're taking time to listen and not just spout off a bunch of stuff. Lord, I'm wanting my mind to be renewed. I'm wanting to be transformed in my thinking so that I learn to think like you, so that when I think, I'm thinking your word. Lord, let this stuff get in my spirit, or let it always be in front of me. As I'm trying to apply this to my life, God, give me strength, give me wisdom. Help me to come back to what I'm trying to change and how I'm trying to apply this. And just sit and listen for a little bit. God will start to speak to you. And he'll drop some stuff in your spirit. It's powerful. It's absolutely powerful. Now, I'm going to stop again. Is this overly complicated?
No.
Crazy simple, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Listen, more people struggle with reading the Word of God than anything else in their walk. And here's the deal. The Word of God is the game changer in your walk with God. Telling you right now, when the Word of God gets in your spirit, it changes you from the inside out. This is why the devil hits us so hard and fights us so hard when it comes to just taking time and reading his word. You ever have time where you blocked off the next 15, 20 minutes or the next 30 minutes? I'm just going to read the Bible. How crazy does life get in those 15, 20, 30 minutes? Man, I got to shut my phone off because it will not stop ringing, you know? It's crazy because the enemy is always trying to come in and distract. So carving time out and protecting that time is essential. You did good. You did good. So you want to soap it up. So scripture, observation, application, and prayer. It's crazy simple, very practical. And if you put this to work, this becomes a foundation of Bible study that will just change the game for you. All right? Just give God a little bit to work with, and he'll turn it into a lot every time. Amen? Let's give Lisa a hand for helping us out this morning. Thank you, girl. You did great. You did, Luke, putting the microphone up like a pro and everything. That's what I'm talking about. She knows what she's doing. Mate, you want to preach next Sunday? She did good. So for you guys that want to go a little bit deeper with this, let me give you some pro tips on reading your Bible before we close this thing out and pray. So there's some Bible study tools that if you're trying to get to the next level that'll help you out tremendously. One is the Woost Study Bibles. Dr. Kenneth Woost went through and did a word-by-word translation of the New Testament. That is probably one of the most accurate translations you're going to find. It's very difficult to read, okay, because he does word-by-word translation. So he's going to the original Greek and all of this stuff and breaking out what the phrases mean. But it's a great study guide. Another book that's great is a book called Sparkling Gems. It is a tremendously powerful study guide. Helps break down what's happening in culture, historically, and what these words are meaning that these people are using in the New Testament, Old Testament. It's a great study tool. So I would recommend those for sure in your word study. Good stuff this morning? Yeah. Listen, I want to equip you. Too many times people take for granted where people are, and they just assume. We don't want that to happen here at this church. Let me pray over you real fast. Father, I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. God, I thank you for these practical little steps that we talked about on how we can just begin to study your word and let it speak to our life. Father, I pray that all of us would be faithful in reading your word. That's where the freedom and power is. That's where you equip us. God, I just pray against any intimidation, or that's not you. That's not you. Any lies that the devil may be telling people that that's just junk, just isn't going to work for them like it does for other people. It's a lie of the enemy. Reading your word can be very simple and practical. And that's where you take it and do the extraordinary with it. Lord, I pray that you would birth a hunger for your word in our church like we've never had before. Father, I pray that you would birth a hunger in me for your word like I've never had before. Lord, that you take us to new depths. Lord, new insights. Father, that through your Holy Spirit, you show us these new revelations in your word and how that applies to our lives today. Lord, that you equip us with everything that we need for life and godliness through the tool chest of your word, Father. Every situation, every problem, every question, the solution and answers to all of it are found in your word. So God, as we put this to work in our lives this week, some of us for the first time we're going to sit down and go through this little soap process. God, I pray, Lord, that you speak volumes to them. Lord, I pray for life transformation to take place, for equipping to take place through your word, that our church, Lord, that we would be people that know how to feed themselves spiritually. Or too many times people rely on the pastors to do this. And I know my job is to equip and to train, Father, but I know that there is no substitute for being able to feed yourself spiritually. Lord, let our church be a church of people that can feed themselves. Just birth that hunger in us. In your name. In your name. Amen. You know what I love about the Word of God is that it all hinges and circles on Jesus. Everything. Everything in Scripture points to Him. In fact, if you want to get technical, Jesus is the embodiment of the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow, never going to get closer to Him than reading, literally, Him. You understand? All on Jesus. It points to Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Got a question for you. Is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life this morning? If you're watching online, is He Lord and Savior of your life? Do you have a real relationship with Jesus, or is church just something that you do? Jesus died so you could have a real relationship with Him. Religion, church, That's never going to get you into heaven. You can never earn your way. You can never be a good enough person. It all hinges on Jesus. Is He Lord and Savior of your life? A lot of people struggle with the reality of who Jesus is. And some people struggle with the fact that the Bible says that there's only one way to get into heaven. If there's only one way to get into heaven, then why are there so many different kinds of religion? You know what I mean? But the Bible says that there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He laid down the terms for it. I didn't. Jesus is the only way. Well, I believe that I can just believe anything, any religion, and it'll get me there. That's as silly as me saying to you, call me when you get home, and we'll talk about what we can do this evening. Just we'll go out and have fun. Just give me a call, and you say to me, okay, cool, what's your number? And I say, I just dial any number. You'll get me. That doesn't make sense. You got to have a specific phone number for my phone to ring to be able to talk to me. You understand? There is only one way to get in contact with God, and it is through Jesus. It's through Jesus. A lot of times people think that Jesus wasn't who he says that he was, and I'm here to tell you he is. It's crazy. Did you know that there were over 300 prophecies made about Jesus before Jesus was born? He fulfilled all of them. The odds, listen to this, the odds of him just fulfilling 8 of those prophecies, the statistical odds are 1 in 100 trillion. Think about that. That's just 8. There were over 300. Can you imagine how crazy the odds are? You have a better chance. You have a better chance of winning the Powerball. Somebody's like, I could take that right now. I get it. Just to give you a visual picture of how awesome this is. You ever seen the state of Texas? You know how big Texas is? If you were to take silver dollars and put them 2 feet high and cover the state of Texas, that's 1 in 100 trillion. Okay? That would be like a blind person walking out into the state of Texas and picking one specific silver dollar out of that 2 feet high pile that covered the entire state the first time. It's impossible. It's impossible. Listen, historically, Jesus is proven to be the Son of God. Biblically, it is without refute that Jesus is the Son of God. Statistically, it is impossible for him to not be who he said he was. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the question is he Lord and Savior of yours? Bow your heads and close your eyes real fast. I want to ask you a question. Before we get out of here today, how's your relationship with Jesus? Is he really Lord and Savior? Or are you just going through the motions of what you see other people doing? Is he really your Lord and Savior? Or are you just in the great habit of going to church? Do you have a real relationship with him? Or do you have a great pattern of religion in your life? And the beautiful thing about that question is you know the truth right now. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? And I got news for you. If you think, I don't know, I hope so, that's your answer right there. That's a no. When you know, you know. I want to give you a chance to get that right before we get out of here today. Is Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? If you're here this morning, you say, you know what, Pastor Josh? He's not. My relationship with him has died off. It's not where it needs to be, and I need to get that right today. Maybe you're watching online, or you're going to hear this later, and your life is just full of duct tape, trying to fix one issue after another in your own strength, trying to hold things together on your own, instead of turning to Jesus and letting him be Savior and Lord, and resolving those issues of life. you're here this morning and you need to get your walk with God where it needs to be, you need to make Jesus truly Lord and Savior. When I count to three, I want you to lift your eyes up and look at me. And if you're watching online, you can put some prayer hands in the comments or just hit us up with a personal message later so that we can follow up with you, because we want to be able to pray with you. On the count of three, you know you need to get your walk with God right. Lift your eyes and look at me. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Lift them up and look at me. I see yours. Praise God. Once you lift them up, you can put them back down. It's a little bit longer. I see yours. Praise God. Pastor Josh, Jesus, he's not on the throne of my life, and I want to make that change today. One last time, lift your eyes up and look at me. That's you this morning. Again, if you're watching online, drop an emoji and let us know, or hit us up with a private message. All right, everyone, if you will, let's stand to our feet. Praise God, we had some people lift up their eyes. I love that, because that means God is speaking to us this morning. Amen. I want to lead you in a prayer. I want everyone in here to pray this prayer and repeat it after me. If you lifted up your eyes, I want you to repeat this and mean it from your heart. All right? We're going to get this stuff right today. So everyone pray this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for me. Jesus, you are Lord and Savior of my life. I repent of the sin in my life. That means I'll turn away and I turn to you. You're in control. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for my salvation. And one day at a time, one step at a time, I'm going to do my best to draw close to you and let you change me from the inside out. Amen. Let's give God praise for what just happened this morning.